sudden.
Thank you, Pastor. Bless you. Wow. It's good to see your lovely faces again. And some of you, we've spent quite a bit of time together as of yesterday and last weekend as well. It's really good to fellowship with you. They've been feeding me nicely. Wow. We had pizza yesterday. See, if you weren't here yesterday, you missed out.
Sorry. Children, sorry. You may go to your children's church now.
That's good. All right, kids. Go serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Amen. Okay. I asked Pastor if he'd help me a little bit today. We're going to team up on some things because there's some lengthy text we may read, but hopefully you don't fall asleep while I'm asking him to read it. Don't fall asleep while he's reading it reading the text because it's really important for us to track with it. Thank you to my friends there with the technical crew. What would we do without electricity? Thank you. Jesus didn't need electricity and PowerPoints, but, you know, for some reason I've become kind of dependent on it. Thank you, Lord. I just want to pray briefly, if you don't mind, just again here to commit this time to the Lord. Father, thank you so much for your word. I take very seriously this privilege to deliver what's on your heart to your saints here, Lord God. And I pray that the seed would fall into good soil. It would bring forth fruit to you, and it'll be fruit that remains in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. Scripture says that there's no temptation that's taken us except what is common to man. Yeah? Paul says, you know, whatever you're tempted by is common to others. So sometimes we feel like, oh my goodness, this is whatever I'm tempted by is nobody's experiencing this. This is too strong. This is too great. But the scripture goes on to say, but God is faithful. Yeah. And what does he do? What's he faithful about regarding temptation? It says with every temptation, he provides what? A way of escape. Wow. So we don't really have, I don't have an excuse. Yeah, if I'm going to go on in sin and this and that, I don't have an excuse because there's a way of escape. I just need to see where it is, see what it is. Often the way of escape is really easy. It's no, don't do that. You know, go this way. It's, you know, when I first met the Lord when I was a teenager, I just assumed, well, you know, I'm going to sin. So we're just going to sin all the time because I'm sinful. But then later on, I began to grow and mature in my walk with the Lord and realize you don't have to sin all the time. We really don't. Because there's a way of escape. Wherever the temptation is, there's a way of escape. And if you find it, but I want to go through a couple of scriptures today. This isn't going to be one of those feel good sermons. Okay, you're not going to walk out going, wow, that was a great word. Okay. It's going to be a little bit edgy. Can we do that today? You guys look like you can take it. First, we're going to look at, I'm sorry, I always have to kind of move around and get my little thing to recognize you. Excuse me. Oh, there it is. Let's look at this scripture, John chapter 14. Let's read it all together. I think you can all see it, yeah? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater works than these because I'm going to the Father. Boy, that scripture bothers me sometimes. Because Jesus is saying, we'll do greater works than he did because he's going to the Father. So I took a look. This is John chapter 14. So I went back to John chapter 1 and just looked at up to 14. Let's look at some of the things Jesus did. OK, Okay? And he's telling us, you'll do greater things than these if you believe, because I've gone to the Father. So let's see what some of the things are that he did. One of them, John chapter 2, Jesus turns water into wine. Has anybody done that lately? If you have, you'd probably be on the news, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I haven't done that lately. Just kind of going by. Let's see what else. John chapter 4. Jesus gives a word of knowledge to a Samaritan woman at the well. Right? He's sitting there. He says, yeah, go get your husband. She says, oh, I don't have a husband. He says, yeah, you've got a few people's husbands. Okay. So she's shocked and she goes and she tells everybody, you got to come and meet this man who told me everything about myself. Yeah, he didn't tell her everything. He just indicated that he knows some things. Yeah. So a lot of times when I'm in conversation with people, sometimes I get a bit of a word. Once in a while, I'll get a word of knowledge. It's like, this person. One time I was in a group in a little prayer session with some young ladies. And the Lord spoke to me very strongly about one of the young ladies in the group. He just said, ask her if she's ever had an abortion. Now, this isn't something I walk around doing all the time, okay? It was really interesting. Lord, I was like, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. You know, the Holy Spirit made really clear. Just ask her if she's ever had an abortion. I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know this girl. She doesn't know me. I mean, she's gonna be upset, and this is terrible. And what if it's wrong? What if she hasn't? Now what am I going to do? The Lord said, ask her if she's ever had an abortion. Okay. So I we're in this little prayer meeting, and this girl's sharing her testimony and whatnot. And I asked her, I said, I need to ask you a question. Have you ever had an abortion? And she breaks down and starts weeping. She's just crying and weeping. And because God wanted to bring healing. And I was battling with the fear of man. I'm like, oh, gosh, suppose I'm wrong. I don't know. And she breaks down in tears. And she's sharing and she's repenting and pouring out regrets and different things. And then the Lord says, you know, give her a hug and just, you know, tell her I love her. And the Lord loves you and God forgives you and all these things. And I'm able to minister to her. And she ended up being very open with everybody. She didn't necessarily feel on the spot. It was a step of freedom for her. The Lord wanted to bring freedom. And it was an awesome time. But here Jesus does that same thing. John chapter 4. Jesus heals a Galilean man's son who was close to death. That's pretty awesome. Let's go here. John 5. Jesus heals a man at the pool of Bethesda. So this guy sits by the pool waiting for the water to move so that somebody could put him in there. But someone always beats him to it. So Jesus says, I'll tell you what, don't worry about the water and all that. I'll just heal you right here. Wow. Wouldn't that be awesome to see on a daily basis? John chapter 6, Jesus feeds 5,000. He also walks on water. I was this summer in Korea. Well, summer for us up in the northern hemisphere. I was in Korea, and we were a traveling team. My wife has a performing arts ministry. They do the prodigal son story on stage. It's about 90 minutes long. And so we were booked to go to a U.S. military base. And we ended up doing the performance for 5,000 soldiers. I mean, this was unbelievable. I've been in stadiums and so forth. I used to play in a marching band and play at football games and things. And I've been in large crowds of people before. I was at an event in 1979 called Washington for Jesus in Washington, D.C. And there were about 500,000 people at that event. So that's quite a thing. If you've ever been in a crowd of 500,000 people wow, it's amazing. You think about a lot of things, what's heaven going to be like and all these things. I also used to live in Hong Kong, so you know, there were 6 million people there when I was there. It felt like it most of the time. But anyway, we performed for these 5,000 soldiers. It was two different events. So it was 2,500 of them one time and 2,500 of them another time. And they were all excited and shouting. If you've ever heard 2,500 guys screaming all at the same time, it's pretty overwhelming. At the second performance, it was my daughter's birthday. And so I kind of set it up and whispered to a few people and said, can you guys get the soldiers to sing happy birthday to my daughter? So she's never had 2,500 guys sing happy birthday to her at once before. So it was on video and everything. It's amazing. So Jesus feeds 5,000 people. Wow. And he walks on water. How about that? I've tried that before. It didn't work out. You know, I live at the ocean and stuff. And so I thought, man, maybe it must have been. It didn't happen. I kind of had to learn to scuba dive. And so he walks on water there. Let's see what else we got. In John chapter 9 through chapter 14, okay, just because I don't want to take too much time, he heals a man born blind. Wow. I've prayed for a lot of folks. So far, I haven't prayed for or, you know, laid hands on somebody born blind. I just haven't done that yet. But he raises Lazarus from the dead. Okay. Since I've been here, I have a good friend of mine who passed away this week. And I'm often, even here in the service, I was thinking about him and his life. And I was with him the week before, a few days before I came down here, and he was, you know, wasn't looking good. And so while we were here, you know, he ended up going home to be with Jesus. And boy, I would love to be able to go back home tomorrow and find where they've got him and go, hey, Uli, come back. We still need you, you know, but maybe my faith is too low. I'm not necessarily thinking that's what I'm going to do when I get back home. But we look at all these things, we see that Jesus said, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. I've heard all kinds of different sort of excuses and things where people come up with, well, maybe you are doing greater works because you made a TV movie and a million people wrote in and said they were going to follow Jesus after watching this movie. That really did happen in Nigeria, actually. A lot of folks gave their lives to the Lord watching this movie that I was able to produce there. But I'm not satisfied with that. That's cool. That's nice that happened. But I'm not satisfied with that. I'm thinking, boy, it'd be great if we could get to this. What Jesus said, he said greater works than these that we do. Raises Lazarus from the dead. Jesus predicts his own death, betrayal, and denial. He tells people this is going to happen. Wow, that's pretty special. I'm going to ask Pastor if he would mind coming up and reading a scripture for us. I think it's going to help us understand some of the reasons why we may not be seeing exactly the greater works yet, and see what we need to do to get ourselves positioned for that. So we're looking, if you don't mind looking it up too, Joshua chapter 7. We're going to read a good chunk of this, and then we'll see what.
Whole chapter?
Not the whole thing. We'll probably stop after they stone and bury him. I'll hear it.
Okay. Joshua chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things, for Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zadai, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Evan on the east side of battle, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spy out Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shibarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel. And they put dust on their heads, and Joshua said, alas, Lord God, why have you brought these people over the Jordan at all, to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content, or that we had been content and dwell on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemy? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? So the Lord said to Joshua, get up, why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I've commanded them, for they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own staff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before the enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you any more unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourself for tomorrow, because thus say the Lord of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed things from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribe, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by household, and the household which the Lord takes shall come man by man. Then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed things shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel. So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel by the tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the clan of Judah, and he took the family of Jahites, and he brought the family of Jahites man by man, and Jabdi was taken. Then he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Jadi, the son of Jerah, the tribe of Judah, was taken. So Joshua said to Achan, oh, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was hidden in his tent with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Jerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughter, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day.
Thank you. That was a lengthy passage, but it's really important for us this morning to look at. Let's go back and kind of summarize a little bit what happened. If you look in there, you'll see, I find it really interesting. The first thing that happens, they go up to a battle and they lose, right? They lose like, I don't know, 30-something. You see the number in there of men. They go up there with 2,000 or 3,000 and they lose. And then they come back and Joshua's crying. He's tearing his clothes and, oh, Lord, you know, why did we lose? And God said, basically, get up off the ground. Why are you down there blubbering on the ground? He says, Israel has sinned. All right. What did Israel, when God said that, he's talking about the whole nation. He's responding to the whole nation. And actually, only one person did something. This is interesting to me. Let's take a peek at this little thing here. So he calls him, look, get everybody together. Everybody come together. Tribe, nation comes together, and then we divide it up by tribes and then clans and then families and then one by one until we find out what the problem is. The problem was one guy. Yeah? God said Israel has sinned. They have taken the cursed things and whatever, and they've hidden them among themselves. It's really one guy's secret sin. It's kind of, have you ever been in a game of tug of war with a rope? You got a bunch of people on this side pulling. You have a bunch of people on this side pulling. And the idea is if you can pull, the one side is stronger than the other. They have the same amount of people, similar weights and so forth. The idea is let's see which one's actually stronger, can pull the other one and make them fall down and whatever. And then the stronger one wins. Usually when you're doing tug of war, you need everybody's hands on the rope doing their best, right, in order to really win. So you don't want to be the person who had to sneeze in the middle of the game. You take your hand off the rope and your team loses because of you. Well, this is kind of what happens with Achan. Achan sees this gold and this robe and all these things, and he covets them. But these are things that were devoted to the Lord. They're not supposed to be for any individual to claim for themselves. He takes the stuff, takes it to his tent, and puts it under the ground. So if you remember, we're reading at the end of it, who ends up being stoned? Achan gets stoned. His sons and daughters get stoned, his donkeys, his sheep, all his stuff. Everybody ends up having to be punished because of him. I look at that and I go, wow, this is amazing. So the point is we're connected to other people. We're connected. And what we do has an impact on other people. But these days, we don't really see it that way, I think. I believe one of the things we were talking about, the greater works, Jesus wants, you know, but if he sees, oh, so-and-so has secret sin over here, and sister such-and-so over there has some secret sin, and brother so-and-so and elder such-and-so has secret sin. So I think sometimes the Lord's just pulling his hand back. He's like, I can't bless that. I really want Zion Fellowship to just be doing the greater works. I want to see, you know, people coming and saying, what must I do to be saved? I want to see them going into hospitals and laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. You know, he's in, I want to see them making a difference in the earth, in Perth and in Australia and around the world. I want to see them going to Indonesia and changing things. But if we don't see it, sometimes We each of us have to take a step back and go, wow, am I the one who's letting go of the rope? you know, am I maintaining secret sin that I'm just going, God will forgive me, please forgive me, you know? Or, you know, and if the Holy Spirit might put his finger on something, let him put his finger on it and let's be healed. I'm not asking for anybody to stand up here right now and go, I'm the one, me, I, you know, whatever. But I am challenging us to look at, wow, look at how we impact. Scripture says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin actually is a reproach to any people. And so we are connected to our nations. Isn't that interesting? So all and our families and all of this. I was at one point, I was sharing yesterday in the seminar that I was maintaining secret sin for a while. I was, you know, exposing myself to pornography on the internet, you know, a few years back, and just, and then the Lord showed me, said, you know what? This isn't just your little thing. It's not just your little problem. You're opening the door to Satan to come into your family. And I was like, oh no, I don't want to be the guy letting go of the rope for my little secret temptation over here and causing sickness and allowing the wicked one to come in to my family and destroy and mess with our finances and all kinds of things. I started to see that, oh, I may be a source of the problem. So I repented, turned away from those things. I said, Lord, I don't want you to have to turn your face from my family, from my church, from my nation because of me. Right? And it didn't, I'm sure there were other people in sin too in Israel, but for some reason the Lord zeroed in on Achan and what he was doing, and he said, look at Israel doesn't have my favor right now. And he highlighted this one guy's stuff. Let's keep going. See if we can go to. I think what I need to do is ask Pastor to come back now. We're going to read Acts chapter 5. Not going to read the whole thing, but this is another example, little bit of a chunk of reading here. So go with us on Acts chapter 5.
Acts chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceed. His wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostle's feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was so, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon those who heard these things. And the young man arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon those who heard these things.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you. Wow. I haven't heard a whole lot of sermons on this passage, but this is interesting. Yep, we have to understand what was happening at this point. So Jesus has risen from the dead. He's spent some time with his disciples and the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus ascends, the Holy Spirit comes. They're doing all these amazing works. They're actually doing what Jesus said was going to happen. He said, greater works than these you'll do. So people were, the attitude of the church was nobody considered anything they had their own, but they were giving to each other. They were daily breaking bread together and from each other's house to house. And there was a spontaneous desire amongst the people to just give their money to the apostles at the apostles' feet. And then the apostles would basically divvy out money as people needed it. Okay? So everybody shared everything they had. It was interesting. Nobody was saying you have to do this. Yeah? The apostles were not saying everybody must do this. No, it was all free will. So people were selling things and bringing money and putting it at apostles' feet. So Ananias and Sapphira were, they had some property, right? They sell their property. They didn't have to bring anything. I think what it was they wanted to look good in front of everybody. I think it was a pride thing. So they come and they keep some of the money because they wanted to keep some. And then they brought the rest, laid it at the apostles' feet. All they had to say was, this is an offering. It's not everything we got from selling this property, but it's some of it because we want to keep some. We want to do some things with it. That's all they had to say. Everything would have been fine. But they decided to deceive, to try to be deceptive and look good in front of everybody. Here's all the money we got. So the apostles obviously had a word of knowledge that this isn't true. So they go, Ananias, is that all the money you got from this thing? He said, yeah, that's it. Here it is. They said, oh, you're lying. Boom, he dies. Wow. I'm really glad I haven't died every time I lied. Wow. There he is. His wife's not there, you know. They take him out to bury him. She comes in. They go, hey, Sapphira, you and your husband, you sold some property. Is this all the money from the properties? Yeah, that's it. Uh-oh. You're going to die too. So the church hears about this, and the Bible says great fear came upon all the believers. This is, it's like, whoa, man, God is not playing around here. We better make sure that what's going on in secret is holy. What's going on behind closed doors, you know, because this church thing, this was a new phenomenon. It didn't exist before. We're used to church now, but this was a new thing. People gathering in honor of God and worshiping him and living, encouraging one another every day, eating together and all. So this was the beginning of the church. It needed to start out holy or we would never even have a church today. It would have been corrupted and completely ruined, I believe, if God had allowed this kind of corruption to take place and continue on all the time. So the challenge is, let's be open with the Lord. There's no temptation that's come our way that we can't find a way of escape from, that we don't have to give ourselves to. We don't have to. But if we believe that, well, I'm just going to sin, then things continue on and we develop secret sin and we don't really know. I had a staff member come to me, well, not a staff member, but a young guy came to me one day a couple of years back. He says, Kenny, I need to talk to you. I said, okay, what's up? He said, no, not here. We need to go down to the ocean somewhere, private. So I thought, okay. So we go, he jump in my car and we go. And he says, okay, Kenny, I've been in a sexual relationship with one of your staff members for the last year. And they're not married. And I was like, really? He said, yeah. And I'm just so guilty. I just want to stop. I'm confessing this and I want God's forgiveness and I'm going to start living differently. So I said, okay, thank you for doing that, and you know, prayed with him and all, and we went. You know, there were a couple of disciplinary things that needed to take place in our community as a result of that. So then I go and talk to my staff member, and I go, you know, I just had a conversation with so-and-so, and is this true? And she goes, yeah, yeah, it's true. And so, you know, they were both very repentant and, you know, ready to stop living this way and so forth. And so, but as I was praying with her, the Lord started showing me that she doesn't realize the impact this has on our community. She's just thinking that, well, this is my sin, I'm sorry, God, and this is my little thing. But she didn't understand the scriptures we read. She didn't understand that you're connected to other people. And so your actions will have a spiritual impact on your community. And you remember the circles I showed you up here, that we're all connected to folks. And so when I shared that with her and we looked at those scriptures we just read, she was like, wow, I never realized that. I just thought, oh, this is my little fun thing I'm doing. And so what? But then she began to, the Holy Spirit began working on her and changing her behavior. She decided, you know, well, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to live in a way that honors God. And I started realizing that, boy, all of us, if we all maintain some secret sin, it's kind of like we're all, if you see us all in a circle facing outward and we're guarding a gate, everybody. And if I stop guarding, doing my job, I'm opening that gate for the wicked one. I'm welcoming him in to not just harm me, but I'm welcoming him in to do whatever he wants to do in my community, in my family, and whatever. We don't want that, right? No, we don't want that. So this word today is just a little challenge to us. It's a challenge to us to allow the Holy Spirit to check our hearts. And let's see, Lord, is there anywhere where I'm not looking for the way of escape when the temptations come my way? Because they will come. Temptations come. We're tempted regularly. Jesus was tempted. The temptation isn't the problem. It's what we do in response to the temptation that's the challenge. So, you know, Scripture promises us that with every temptation, there's a way of escape. So we just have to look for it. Lord, where is that way of escape? By your grace, Father God, will you show us the way of escape and give us the grace to take it? It's one thing to see there's a way of escape, but I'm going to go over this way. You know, we don't want to do that. We want to take that way of escape so that we can welcome his blessing in our community, in our families, in our nation. Yeah. Can I pray for you real quick? It's okay. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for your word and your truth. Sometimes discipline is not easy, but we welcome your discipline in our lives, Lord God. We do want to be able to have the grace to take the way of escape with every temptation. Usually we don't have more than one temptation at a time. So we just have to respond to those, each one, by finding that way of escape. And we know that you are more than willing to help us with that. So, Lord, I pray that as this congregation begins living this way and walking this out, in Jesus' name, I pray that they will begin to see those greater works that you promised, Lord. You said that if we believe in you because you've gone to the Father, that we'll do greater works than you did. I'm praying for those greater works in Jesus' name as each one takes up their post and keeps that gate guarded, keeping the wicked one out. Thank you for success here in Jesus' name. Yeah, amen. Bless you, my friends. I'm leaving tomorrow to go back home. It's been fun getting to know different ones of you over the last couple weekends. And My wife's trying to come here with her team next year at some point. And I don't know if I'll be able to make it with her or not, but we'll be praying for you and for your congregation. Bless you.
Thank you. Can I get the musicians to come forward, please?